if we hadn't lost in 2020, we wouldn't know we lost our country. And I wouldn't be standing here if Trump had won, because I would just be thinking, okay, you know, it's same old. But now that I was invited in to look at the data, now that I've studied it at great length, I've studied intimately the election results in 43 states now. It's everywhere, it's massive, and it's been going on since the 90s.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here with the Moment of Truth Summit here in Missouri, and we're with Dr. Douglas Frank. He is well known, I'm sure, to our viewers. He is a PhD physicist. He was brought in by the state of Pennsylvania to look at some of the irregularities in the voting, and then connected with Mike Lindell, and of course was in the movie that we actually showed and talked about quite a bit, Scientific Proof. Dr. Frank, thank you very much for being with us. I want to start off with the obvious question. Have things improved from 2020 ahead of the 2022 midterms?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Depends how you think of improved, too, because this has not really been about evidence since the beginning. We've always had plenty of evidence of election fraud. What it's been about is the people understanding what happened to them and what they need to do about it. You know, and at first, you could come out and talk about what the fraud you're finding, and the media would just, you know, poo-poo it, and then the citizenry didn't really know what to do, right? And so we were all kind of stuck. It's like everybody knew something was wrong, but what do we do? And so we kind of had to learn how to organize, and the grassroots has now become organized around the country, and that's what's so amazing about this summit. Today, 50 teams from 50 states are going to come and tell about what's been happening in their state. That ain't an accident. Mm-hmm. We have been working hard ever since the election, growing these grassroots team, equipping them with the walk lists that they need to do, canvassing to find the fraud, and learning from each other. So when you say things better, yes, it's better in the sense that the country knows what's happening now, and it can't be suppressed anymore. It's snowballing. It's better in that regard. Now, is it better in terms of what's going to happen in 2022? Yes and no. There are some states where we have injunctions in place, where we're filing injunctions against use of the machines. Think about it this way. Let's say you're a candidate and you're running for office, and you know that the machine that they're going to use to count your ballots has been proven to be fraudulent. Okay, you can go to a judge and you can say, here's the evidence that that machine manipulates the results. I don't want that machine used in my election. I want a temporary injunction filed. We have multiple of those injunctions being filed all over the country. So that's been our strategy, and that's been working. So that's one avenue that's really improved. Another area that's really has improved, for example, in Wisconsin, we red-pilled Speaker Voss, Speaker of the House Voss. It was me and Sean Smith and John Eastman, three of us, had a private meeting with him. And when he left that meeting, he stood in front of 10 television cameras and told the world, yep, widespread fraud in Wisconsin. Well, if you have the Speaker of the House telling your whole state, yep, we have widespread fraud here, what happens? Well, people start looking into it. Well, we learned that there are 30 counties there that have populations under 7,500. Well, state law permits any county under 7,500 to do a completely manual paper election if they wish. So we have lots of those counties that are going all paper, okay? And so that's an improvement, I would say, wouldn't you say? And then there are other states like Kansas and Missouri and Nebraska where the similar kinds of things are happening. We have some things in other states too, but I'm not gonna leak it out where they are because there's gonna be water main breaks and people aren't gonna be able to use the machines at the last minute. So they're gonna be paper elections. And and we have, you know, I'm not allowed to release where that's going to happen. Okay. It's amazing how God works. You know, there's these miracles everywhere. They're going to, oh my gosh, there was a water main break here just at the wrong moment. But but you get the idea.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I think in terms of how are things better? Yeah, things are way better. And I like the way Mike puts it. You know, if we hadn't lost in 2020, we wouldn't know we lost our country. And I wouldn't be standing here if Trump had won, because I would just be thinking, okay, you know, it's same old. But now that I was invited in to look at the data, now that I've studied it at great length, I've studied intimately the election results in 43 states now. It's everywhere, it's massive, and it's been going on since the 90s, according to my math. And if you speak to Kurt Hyde, who's a personal hero of mine, he's a New American guy. In fact, his article written in 2010, he gave to me at last year's Cyber Symposium. But if you talk to him, he'll say the fraud's been going on longer than that, and he's right. It's just that nowadays, we have electronic enabling of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like, I like to tell people, you could make a machine to walk your dog, but it's better to just grab a leash and walk him yourself. It's healthy for you, it's good for the dog, it's good for your relationship. There are some tools that fit certain tasks. Electronics and elections don't mix. It needs to be all manual. It needs to have a paper trail, like Kurt has said for so long. In Europe, they have paper poll books and paper ballots and hand counting, and they do it all one day and they report the results that night. Is there fraud? Of course there's fraud. There's always fraud. But at least Doug Frank from Ohio can't hack into their election and steal their election. But Doug Frank from Ohio, because of the way our systems are on the country, I'm not saying I am doing this, but Doug Frank can log in to Kansas's election and change their results, and because it's all electronic. So in other words, you've enabled widespread fraud by making the elections electronic. You're always gonna have fraud, but if it's locally controlled and it's on paper and you have paper trails of everything, then you can always track down the fraud, right? And you can prosecute it. But state after state, our legislatures are doing exactly the opposite. Our legislatures are making it, they're actually codifying the ways of doing fraud. Let's have longer periods of time beforehand that people can vote. Let's allow people to vote only by mail all the time. And there are all these things that are just making the elections less and less secure. My goodness, I was in Idaho, and the day I was in Idaho, the legislature passed a bill downgrading election fraud from a felony to a misdemeanor.
What?
Why would you do this? I mean, everything that our legislatures are doing are to try to preserve the status quo and preserve their control over our elections. We the people, we the citizens need to take back our elections, and that starts at the local level. And that's why this is so important of a summit, because here we're bringing all these local grassroots teams together. They're mutually equipping each other. What's working, what's not working, what ideas you have, et cetera, et cetera. They're cross-pollinating, and this is why this is a turning point in our country, I think. It's coming out of the shadows, so to speak. All the grassroots teams now know each other.
So where do we go from here? What advice do you have to everyday citizens out there who are concerned about this, who want to do something? Where do they start, and what's the end objective? You mentioned get rid of the machines, and then what?
So I was with Eric Metaxas a couple months ago in Pennsylvania. I love the guy. He's great. And he introduced me to an idea. I think I'd come across it as a youngster, but he reiterated it. It's called the Golden Triangle of Freedom. And it was one of the core principles guiding our founders of our country when they were founding the Constitution. It's a golden triangle. And the bottom of the triangle is you can't have freedom unless you have virtue. And you can't get, why? Because you have to govern yourself, right? I mean, if you have virtue, you don't need a government to stop you from raping and pillaging. So you can't have freedom if you never have virtue. And you can't have virtue unless you have faith. And you can't have faith unless you have freedom. And so it's this golden triangle. And the reason why this is an important idea is because de Tocqueville visited America during that time, this famous historian. And at that time, George Whitefield was doing a revival all up and down the East Coast. And people were getting saved. I mean, it was like it was the first great awakening in America. And de Tocqueville went back to Europe and he said, these American people, they're extraordinary. They're virtuous. He says, no wonder their government will trust them with a republic. And you remember when Benjamin Franklin came out of the meeting and spoke to Miss Powell, he said, she said, what kind of government have you given us? He says, we've given you a republic if you can keep it. And, George Washington in his farewell speech said, only a virtuous people is capable of freedom. So here we are as a country. We've been designed to be free. We've been designed to have liberty, but we have to have virtue or we won't be. And I think that's where it starts. I think this is not just about elections. I think that's a symptom of the problem. I think we as a country have for decades kind of, and I know you guys have been preaching this from the New American, we've been kind of sinking to some pretty low depths and we've lost our virtue. And so I think the judgment that we're feeling now as a country is earned.
Yeah.
And so if we want, how about it's pray for a shallow bottom. let's hopefully we'll wake up, and we are waking up, and then hopefully we'll repent and turn our eyes towards heaven again. And then as we individually repent and then we begin to repent in our communities, then our country can be restored. It's just like if you read the Old Testament, you know, 450 years of cycling, right? Repentance and depravity. We as a country are in one of those low spots, and we need to repent. So really, I think this is all about us as a people. When we recover our virtue, then we'll recover our freedom. And so that's the first thing I like to tell people. Start at home. You know, read your Bible, turn your eyes toward heaven, get your own life back in order, find some virtue. Then, in your own community, become virtuous in your own community. You know, join a church that isn't apostate. Work with other patriot leaders who are standing for proper values. And then that percolates into all the other areas. And, you know, I like telling people, you could pay somebody to raise your children, but it comes out way better if you use your own two hands. Okay. The thing is we need to run our own governments. We need to teach our own children. We need to run our own elections. All that stuff will automatically happen if we have virtue, I think. I think what's happened is nobody wants to get involved in politics. That's nasty stuff, right? So what do you end up with? You end up with a bunch of nasty people in politics because they're the only ones who want to do it. What did Plato say? He says, the consequence of not getting involved in politics is you end up being ruled by your inferiors. And that's what he said. And that's exactly the situation we're in. So I think that elections are just the point of the spear. And so because people say, well, we're going to elect new leaders because they're corrupt. Well, how do you elect? You can't fix a broken election with broken elections. So we can't replace these bad leaders using the elections, at least easily. So definitely have to get involved, definitely have to vote, but you have to wake everybody up in your community to vote because you have to overwhelm the fraud in order to displace it. And then once you've owned, then we can repair the systems from the government down. It's got to be bottom up first. So that's a long answer, but I think that's the right answer.
But it's brilliant. I love it. Before we let you go, you mentioned that you've looked closely at the results in 43 states now. You know, I don't expect you to go through each and every one, but give us some of the highlights. What is it that convinced you this is really wrong?
Well, so when Pennsylvania first invited me in, I was just looking at one county, and I found all kinds of fraud there. And they were saying, wow, have you looked at any other counties in Pennsylvania? So I, oh, okay. So I started looking at the other counties. But when I started doing that, I was like, wait a minute. I can almost tell you before I even look at these counties what's happening here, because I learned the pattern in Montgomery County. So then I did 14 counties or so. And then one of the legislators there said, well, have you looked at any other states? And I'm like, well, no, I just look into Pennsylvania. That's where all the fraud is, right? And so I looked at my own home state of Ohio. And what I did was I went to the United States Census and I downloaded the census for every county in Ohio. And from that alone, I was able to predict the age demographics of the voters in every single county in Ohio, all 88 of them, to preposterous, ridiculous, unnatural accuracy. Then I realized, wait a minute, Ohio is manipulated too. And so I started doing state after state, and I started calling around my most conservative friends around the country, because I figured I was still under the impression it's the left that are the bad guys. So I figured in the conservative red counties, those would be good elections. So I was calling county after county, and I called Sharona Bishop in Colorado, and I said, hey, because she and I were friends because of COVID work we were doing together. And I said, tell me about the elections in your county. I'm looking for I know you're a conservative county, like 70-30. You know, what was it like? And she's broke into tears. Dr. Frank, it's horrible. We just elected the foremost liberal county commissioners of all time. Nobody knows who voted for them. We don't understand it. We're like a 70-30 Republican county. How did this happen? Please help. So she sent me her rolls. I flew out there. We began working on the ground. And, you know, here at this conference, we're going to do a movie about Tina Peters. Mm-hmm. I red-pilled Tina Peters, and she said, what do I need to do? And I said, you got to get your systems backed up. And if we hadn't had that meeting, this movie wouldn't be happening. Wow. And so it's amazing how I was in the right place at the right time for that. But the overall story that I'm telling you is that the fraud is everywhere, and it's particularly easy to find in the big blue counties, but it's not too hard to find either in the small red counties, and those counties are where you have the most chance to have an effect. So I guess my encouragement to people nationally is, don't think that just because you live in this nice conservative small town that everything's okay. If you think that way, 10 years from now, you're not going to own your county. In fact, you may not already own your county. Look at your school board, look at your sheriff, look at your mayor. Wait a minute, are those people looking out for your interests? Tell me, how did it go in 2020 when they were shutting your schools down? Is that the way your community really wanted, or what? You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
And, you know, Soros back in 2002 did a public interview where he told us that he was going to own every Secretary of State in the country by 2020. That's what he said. Well, he's just about there. And the way he's doing it isn't from the top down. He's doing it from the bottom up. We have to learn that lesson. We kind of already did. We just forgot. We went to sleep as a country.
Yeah.
We need to wake up. You know, we need to repent. We need to turn our eyes toward heaven. We need to take back our elections. So how about that for a story?
Fantastic. Before we let you go, Doctor, what's the best way for people to follow you? Have you got a website, a social media?
Yeah, I don't keep a website anymore because I am the enemy of lots of people, and they were just always hacking me, and I just gave up.
Okay.
But I do everything on social media, and you can follow me on like Telegram, follow the data with Dr. Frank, or on Facebook, you can go to my Douglas G. Frank personal, or Rumble, or Frank Social, or, you know, I've got pages on just, you know, 10 different social media, and they're always called Follow the Data with Dr. Frank or Dr. Frank or something like that. And you can find me pretty quickly that way, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Dr. Frank, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for all you're doing.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.